Good morning, people. TruckDriver101.com. This is the podcast. If you're interested in trucking and you're new to the game, go to YouTubeTruckers.com. You can buy my book or you can get it at TruckDriverAudiobooks.com, TruckDriverAudiobooks.com, or TruckDriverAudiobook.com. You can buy my audio book. It is to help new drivers. I talk about how much you want to pay for school, what to expect in trucking, how to plan and create your own little team. It's all to help you. So, check that book out. It is $2.99. It is an audiobook. Something you can listen to while you're driving to trucking school, finishing up, baby. So, let's get busy here, guys. Now, this week I was checking out the news, the trucker news that I get from trucker website. I'll mention it the next time. The Trucker Report news. And I was checking out a carrier must pay $20,000 to a driver who refused to drive while sick. Department of Labor, Occupational Safety and Health Administration has ruled that Washington State carrier must pay one of its drivers $20,000 after suspending him for refusing to drive while sick. Now, this is something I've noticed for years. I mean, when I first started in trucking, it seemed like the mentality was we were supposed to work together as a team with dispatchers. In any article, they talk about, like, this is a triumph against dispatchers. But to me, it's not about dispatchers. It's about the way companies are designed. You know, companies, for some reason, they treat every load like it's the worst. Like, if we lose this one load, we are screwed, you know. But the truth is, if that driver drove when he was sick and crashed into somebody and killed a family, that's going to cost the company millions of dollars, right, in lawsuits and other things. One of the biggest problems is that, for some reason, there is a design flaw in the way trucking companies are designed, that where your dispatcher is your enemy. And this ideology, it continues, it's deep in trucking. It's this whole idea that, you know, like with brokers, you know, brokers are your enemy, and the mechanics are your enemy. And it seemed to start when the recession started, because I remember all of a sudden they were refusing to fix things, and which was always stupid to refuse to fix anything on the truck, because I see so many people that think if I get this part fixed cheaply, then I save money. But you never save money because it's a part, right? You just get it fixed properly with a good part, you'll never have to fix it again, you know. But that's the old mentality of trucking, you know. And I don't know why there's this adversarial ideology. The only thing I can assume is that people think it makes them more money, but obviously it doesn't, because in this situation, you would have asked the driver to drive while sick, and he could crash. I mean, he's a 25-year veteran, so you're talking about a 50, 60-year-old guy. You know, this guy could have been having a heart attack. He could have been, sick in a serious way, and you're trying to force him to drive, you know. The reason I say heart attack is because I have talked to people who've found out they thought they were sick and throwing up and vomiting, and they were actually having a fucking heart attack, you know. And so you never know, especially with somebody who's been trucking 25 years. I mean, this guy's probably 50, close to 60 years old, you know. You're pressing a guy who's older. You know, this isn't some young, spry 22-year-old whose body is healthy and fit. But anybody, you shouldn't be forced to drive while sick. I'm just saying, it seemed like you would have more consideration, you know, for a 25-year vet, and especially considering his age, you know. But they don't think that way. And you think the lawsuits, I mean, companies lose big money in lawsuits. I mean, $5-6 million, more than that sometimes, especially if there's lingering issues like, you know, a child damaged mentally, you could be looking at $20-30 million, right? And that isn't worth one load or two loads or three loads or four loads. I mean, that's hundreds of loads. And even if you piss off a customer every once in a while, I don't think, you know, it's not like it's happening every single night. I doubt you're really calling up that customer going, we don't have your 80 loads we promised during the whole contract that we signed. But there is, just seems to be this idea that I think in trucking is this idea, like back to what I was saying first, is adversarial ideology. That the best way to make money is to have the mechanics against the dispatchers against the drivers, you know, and everybody will somehow grind out money, and which puts a lot of pressure on drivers because we got, you know, the industry still has a pretty high turnover rate. And as a result, the industry, you know, we have a lot more rookies, you know, and because we have so many rookies, it makes it really, really, really difficult for those rookies to learn how proper ways to drive and the proper procedures when, you know, if something bad happens, they're being threatened. I mean, and, you know, they see these things. Like, they see guys like this get suspended. Like, he was going to get suspended. You got rookies, and I don't know if this company had rookies, but I'm just saying in general, when you have rookies that see that, you develop this foolish mentality of fear that if I stop, they're going to get me. The other thing I want to talk about real quick on the last part on this is that I thought it was great that OSHA, that's who that is, didn't just fine them $20,000. They also made them take off the information off his DAC report if anything was negative. And that is something I like, too. And you know, kudos to this driver for suing. You know, that's the thing. I love the fact that he sued. He didn't just sit there and take it. He didn't sit there and say, I'm going to take this. I'm going to take this crap. I'm going to let these people demonize me and treat me like shit and have this unfair rule, and I'm just going to take it. You know, we as drivers, we do need to fight back. I know there's not a lot of unions out there anymore, but, you know, groups like OSHA and you know, the government and laws, you know, there's a lot of those things are on our side. Sometimes we get so caught up in our conservative, you know, the government is trying to take everything from me. The government is diabolically evil. So for all you rookies out there, the whole point of this is that don't be scared to stop. You know, don't be scared to tell the dispatcher to go fuck himself. You know, I know people hate when I curse, but I don't care because this is trucking. You know, I keeps it real. You know, I keeps it real, people. Okay? So, that's all I want to say on that. And I'll be right next on our agenda. It took me a little minute. I wanted to bring up a conversation about the I-10 bridge collapse, which they're estimating is going to cost the trucking industry $2.5 million per day. I don't know where that's really from. Yeah, I'm going to have to strike that off until they didn't specifically explain why they believe the bridge collapse is going to cost that much. But it really leads to infrastructure. Like, what the fuck is our government doing? I mean, California has billionaires that live there. That's ridiculous. You know, the truth is our government is so fucked up because it's supposed to be designed that you're supposed to take care of police and the infrastructure first. Then you're supposed to take care of all those extracurricular activities. Now, I know what people are going to say. Oh, it's the welfares. It's the welfares. No. I don't think it's the welfares. I think it's the billions, not the hundreds of millions or billion, but the multi-billions or trillions that we spend on corn subsidies, that we spend on corporation bailouts, that we spend on all those things instead of our infrastructure. This should be outrageous. And all the money that we pay in taxes, that any damn bridge collapses. That's just ridiculous. No one in the United States of America should be worried about a bridge collapse. And again, we should be outraged. We should be pissed off. I mean, if you're a millionaire, you're going to cut a half of your check to the United States government or a good portion of it. If you're a regular person, you're going to pay 25-35% of your check to the United States government. We're all going to give a whole lot of money to the government. And last time I checked, if I don't pay the IRS, they show up at my door with a baseball bat. You know? It's called, you know, we're going to take all your shit. And it seems like, well, if that's what they're going to do, then they need to act like you know, this is serious, you know, and there's no call, there's no outrage about it. There just seems to be this, oh, well, this is a cost. And to me, the outrage goes away because if this was a truck driver who knocked a bridge down, they would make a regulation in 3 days. You know, they would make it in 3 weeks or three months. They would do everything they could to punish that driver. But when the failure is on the government and it's with a bunch of people who have degrees, they hate regulating themselves. They don't like saying that someone who looks like me and is like me is a screw up because I have an education. I'm supposed to be superior, you know, and you're just like everybody else. And, you know, and again, because you got to understand, this isn't, our government isn't run by a bunch of Michigan State graduates. It's run by a bunch of Ivy Leaguers, you know. And people always say, well, you know, it's not that, Ken. It's just, you know, it's a bad thing. We shouldn't blame people. No, we should blame people, right? Like I said, the IRS would show up to your door and put you in jail, if you don't pay your taxes. You're going to put me in jail if I don't pay my taxes, right? You call people down to the tax house to go to a court, right, to go to court for audits and all types of things that the IRS can do to you and call you down to go to court to pay the government, yet they can't deal with, they can't make sure the funding is used, you know, properly, so we don't have bridge collapses. It's frustrating, you know, it's frustrating that our government is so obsolete. It's frustrating that they put more focus on paying for, you know, sugar than they do bridges. You know, because I'm pretty sure rotten teeth aren't as important as being able to drive on a level, you know, bridge. You know, I'm going to step on the good foot and tell you about that, you know. But, yeah, I was shocked to hear that. That it literally, not only that, it's I-10 is a huge, huge thoroughfare. This could have been a massive, massive national tragedy. And it needs to be dealt with. At least if you're not going to fix the bridge, shut them down. Shut the bridges down. And I know this leads also to some conversations that we need to have about the internet and the lack of taxes, the government funding the wrong things. And I'm talking about the real wrong things. Like I said before, I'm sick of hearing people talk about welfare. Giving somebody $200 a month, $500 a month is not, if you think somebody on welfare is making a grand a week, you're an idiot. Okay, the people who suck up the most in subsidies are corporations, trucking companies. Yeah, I said it. You know that a lot of you guys who go to trucking school, your company's getting paid money from the government, and that's thousands of dollars a day, not $500 a year, a month, or $600 a month somebody welfare is getting. I'm talking about real money, okay? I'm not talking about bullshit money. All right, they spend trillions on subsidies throughout this country. Not hundreds of millions, not a billion, trillions. There are states, Texas, Missouri, many of the farming states, they suck up trillions of dollars over time. Trillions, hundreds of billions, right, every single year. It is not Joe Billy and his wife on aid. It is not Pookinam down in the hood. It ain't Hector over on fence. It is Joe Billy the farmer. It's CEO Jonathan Bartholomew the third at, you know, FICO that manufactures all the meat or whoever. These companies are, Monsanto is what I should say. Monsanto. Right. These companies suck up the money that should be used for our roads. And the government, you should be outraged. You should be pissed off. You should be frustrated. You should be telling these assholes every day that you want your goddamn bridges fixed or at least shut them down. The fact that this bridge in 2013, by the way, I'm talking about the I-10 collapse in 2013, was declared functionally inept. Basically, it needed to go. It needed to go. I'm not going to use the proper terminology because I ain't educated, goddammit. I don't have the proper terminology. But damn it, it needed to go. And then you knew it in 2013. And you still come taking my motherfucking tax money. And yeah, I'm pissed because I think I shouldn't have to do this shit. A certain shit. When you pay exorbitant amount of rent, right, you do not expect a leaky roof. And if you tell the landlord, I'm paying $2,000 a month, I want my roof fixed, right? My roof is fixed, right? So, you know, it's outrageous. It's bullshit, and it needs to be taken care of. But it's frustrating to me that there isn't as much outrage. This should be on the news every day. You know, every day we should be bitching and moaning and crying. We should treat it with utmost seriousness that our government is not doing its job. Right, because we got, you know, think about it. Let's go after the farmers, right? Let's just think about the military. Right? How many, literally, I think there are 3 or 4 planes the government, they did a story about 3 or 4 planes that will never be used in combat that cost $100 million each. $100 million. Right? I'm pretty sure this bridge could have been fixed for less than $100 million. And if you live in California, it's ridiculous. I don't understand all the problems in California. You have billionaires. You ain't like Detroit, where we got one billionaire Ford. You have billionaires. I mean, you know, up north in California is full of billionaires. I mean, not millionaires, billionaires, who pay, I'm pretty sure, a good chunk of change, right, on that $1 billion they worth. And it just doesn't make sense. It just, you know, it's lack of focus. And the thing is, like, I don't know, I guess I'm the only upset one, because I feel like it should be upset after we get screwed every year on taxes, and it doesn't get fixed. And if I hear one more fucking Republican tell me about welfare, I swear to God, I'm going to slap you in the fucking mouth. I am. Make it some motherfucking game. I mean, I'm sorry, I just, don't tell me about people getting $500 a month. Talk about the trillions, brother. Talk about the hundreds of billions, okay? That's what we pay in corn, brother. Every year, you know what? Y'all hold on for a minute. I'm gonna get some real accurate fucking information here. We get all technical because this is really pissing me off today. So, just wanna, you know what? I'm gonna shoot a different YouTube video for this because this is, I wanna get these numbers. So let's Google subsidies. Oh, here we go. Subsidies for oil. Oh, here we go. Taxpayers currently subsidize the oil industry by as much as $4.8 billion a year. The oil industry, right? The people that we pay, what, $3 a gallon to, we're subsidizing them, by the way. We subsidize them $4.8 billion a year, with about half going to the big 5 oil companies. Exxon, rich as hell. Shell, rich as hell. Chevron, rich as hell. BP, rich as hell. And ConocoPhillips, I guess. I'm probably saying that wrong, but which gets an average tax break of $3.34 every year, barrel domestic crude they produce. So, bottom line, right, I'm not sure about that last part, but let's stick to the part I get. Right, I didn't know Shell was still in business. That's weird. Anyway, I don't know how good this article is, but April of 2014, I found it on Google, but it's claiming, I'm not sure if it could not be accurate, but I'm pretty sure we probably do subsidize the oil industry billions of dollars. Billions. Bridges don't cost billions. We could spend, that's the thing about this too. You spend $20 billion to fix our bridges, $1 trillion to fix our bridges. It's a one-time expense. Once they're fixed, they're fixed. And, you know, and we're accepting this. We're accepting this bullshit. So, I just wanted to do that example. Just wanted to, you know, put that out there, that we're subsidizing these companies like this, so. Anyway, guys, that's the raw and uncut version of this podcast, and that's it. Do me a favor. I don't know if I'm going to. I'm going to try to call to action today. If you out there and you know who your congressman is, or you know who your, or you know representative, or just Congress in general, you know, if you can find them, find their name and call them and tell them, especially if you live in California, that you are pissed off, that you pay enough money. If you could send them a letter or an email, you should do it. because no bridge in the richest country in the world should be collapsing. Supposedly, we're really the credit-rich country in the world. We control belief, right? We ought to stop believing in our bridges and make sure they actually can stand, right? That's not a good place to put your faith in, a collapsing bridge. That's not good. All right, guys, truckdriver101.com. If you are interested, I have a book on truck driving for all you rookies out there. And I'll talk to you guys later. Go to truckdriverbooks.com or truckdriveraudiobooks.com. YouTube Truckers, you can go to that website. YouTube Truckers is a link that will take you directly to the audiobook. It is literally great for new truck drivers. All right, guys, truckdriver101.com.